forests of Africa.
We practice Ma'at.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and you're listening to the words that resounded through my North Carolina home at the start of each morning last week.
Truth. Order.
Order.
Balance.
And reciprocity.
Like the Sankofa bird.
We look to our past.
So that we can be our best. Today. And every day. Ashe.
These are the girls and women of the Black Land Use and Food Supply Summer Program. It's an immersive, one-week living and learning project organized by the New Jersey-based Grassroots Community Foundation in collaboration with my own academic program, the Anna Julia Cooper Center. Last week, a dozen Black girls and women, ranging in age from 11 to 50, piled into a van and drove to North Carolina. They arranged their air mattresses in my living room and spent the week learning about how Blackness shapes land ownership, food production, and food access in this country. We designed the curriculum to give the participants a chance to really think about the complicated relationship of Black Americans to land and how it's used. And we spent some time exploring who makes decisions about land and what difference those decisions make.
We went from being on the land to running the land. We use the land for entrepreneurship. We use it for our remedies.
14-year-old Lynette is from Philadelphia, a big city girl excited to travel south and to meet Clarenda Stanley, better known as Farmer C.
You can come in if you want. You won't fall through the ground.
Farmer C owns and operates just over 14 acres in Liberty, North Carolina, and calls it Green Heifer Farms. She is a rarity. Nationwide, Black women make up less than 1% of farm owner operators. And although she grew up in rural Alabama, C isn't formally trained in agriculture. When she first acquired Green Heifer Farms, C was married and planning to manage only the marketing and branding end of the business. After a divorce, she left her lucrative day job and committed full-time to farming.
So did anybody tell you you were just crazy?
I'm sure some folks probably said it, but I kind of keep to myself. So I don't really be hearing what folks be saying.
As you should.
Last year, a 12-minute documentary about Farmer C was selected as the best short film in the 2021 Raleigh Film and Art Festival.
For me, farming is not just an act. It's a way of being. You know, you're a farmer in spirit, I believe. You're always at the mercy of a higher power, a higher energy, whether you call it nature, spirit, God.
At the mercy of a higher power, indeed. When the students arrived at Green Heifer Farms last week, they found themselves at the mercy of a blazing North Carolina sun, stifling humidity, and unabated mosquitoes. Despite their boundless enthusiasm, these urban dwellers from Jersey and Philly weren't quite ready for the harsh reality of a North Carolina farm in July. And Farmer C clocked it the moment we stepped out of the van.
Did y'all out here with these cute little coordinated tennis shoes on?
She might have been shaking her head about folks who visit a farm hatless and wearing tennis shoes and shorts, but Farmer C opened her arms and her spirit, talking with us about regenerative farming methods.
Yeah, so when you're tilling, you're cutting deep into the soil to turn it over, to make all the good soil under come to the top, get rid of the harder soil, softens it up. But the problem is you're disturbing all of the biodiversity that's taking place. You're disturbing your microbia, you're disturbing your mitochondria, you're disturbing your earthworms, etc. And you're releasing carbon into the air. And when you release carbon into the air, the problem with that is it's affecting our temperature globally.
And she gently corrected us when we misidentified her beloved plants.
You grab this and smell it.
Whoa,
this
is one of mint?
This is actually holy basil, which is a beautiful adaptogen.
Green Heifer Farms does not overflow with tomatoes, squash, or soybeans. It's a medicinal plant farm. And Farmer C crafts original teas from the harvest. A talented marketer with a master's degree in business, Farmer C offers wonderfully named products like Santa Tea, Fix It Tea, and our fast favorite, Rich Aunt Tea.
This is Clitoria Turner Tea. Butterfly pea flower. It is a plant that is a wonderful plant for girls and women. Helps with a variety of things that we deal with. And so it is in my Rich Aunt Tea. This makes a brilliant blue tea mixed with the red of the hibiscus. And that's why the tea is purple. And then it has the lemongrass.
And she grows on a pole.
Yes, she does. She does.
And the medicinal purposes of her farming are signaled by her name.
Did y'all get that her name, Farmer C, is a play on
pharmacy?
Yes. See, they got it.
Here again is 14-year-old Lainette.
Farmer C uses hers as, well, pharmacy. She uses it as remedy. That's why Black Land Matters. It's so much you can do with it.
Black Land Matters. This is perhaps the most important takeaway from the week the girls spent living, learning, and farming in North Carolina. And as Farmer C reminds us, there's always something to learn when farming.
Every day I'm out here, I'm learning. This is like a big classroom.
Let's take a quick break. The takeaway returns in just a moment. You're back with The Takeaway. I'm Alyssa Harris-Perry, and we're still at the Black Land and Food Justice Camp I hosted in my home this summer. Eight girls, one bathroom, meant many rounds of rock, paper, scissors to decide who showers first.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot!
Yeah, there was plenty of laughter and learning as this group of New Jersey and Philadelphia-based women and girls spent a week down south.
Hi, my name is Dia, and I'm 20 years old. I'm from Philly. Like, growing up living in the city, I've become so used to seeing land occupied in such different ways. Like, there are trains here, corner stores, row houses. And coming to the South and actually seeing real acreage and how we can create spaces for ourselves was just, like, really cool.
We took a lot of different approaches to thinking about Black land. Not only did we spend time with Farmer C on her 14-acre medicinal plant farm, but we also learned about how redlining, residential segregation, inheritance, and property taxes all affect how and where Black people can own and use land. In her nightly camp reflection journal, mom and teacher Sonia Ferguson wrote about the connections between Black land loss and the racial wealth gap.
In addition to the decline in stability and security produced by the loss of land ownership, the Black community has lost the opportunity to own an asset with a proven track record of wealth creations.
Now, we also had a chance to see how Black women are using very small plots of land to build wealth through business. Camille Lancaster is a small business owner in Winston-Salem who farms in a narrow urban container garden behind her store called The Greenhouse. Now, the greenhouse is just a little shop where Miss Camille creates and sells natural plant-based products made from her own homegrown herbs.
That's what we do. We take herbs and roots and all those good things and we mix them all together and then we give them to people and help them understand that there is some alternative and it's not an alternative medicine.
Now, these many different ways of thinking about land use prompted our youngest participant, 11-year-old Inyasa, to reflect.
Land is like a Swiss Army knife. They're both versatile. They can both be used for many different things.
And not only did we delve into contemporary issues, we also explored complicated histories of race and place and found that both the young girls and the adult women became contemplative about land in ways they'd never previously imagined.
Hi, my name is Fridiota Mosu, and I'm 17 years old, and I'm a member of the Black Land and Food Supply Project. After studying Black land use in North Carolina for a week, I've realized that we all utilize land across this nation in various ways, and rarely do we acknowledge how this land, this very land that we live on, was and still is built off of the backs of our Black ancestors. We eat as a result of our Black land, we live on our Black land, and must appreciate our Black land because it is the foundation of who we are.
My name is Sheryl Raymond, and I am 48 years old. Black land is that tangible assertion of our own power. When the rest of the world confounds us, we look to home. Our bodies return to the earth. Why shouldn't that be our piece of the earth?
And while the curriculum of assigned readings and relevant experiential learning were foundational, I think all of us found that the most lasting lessons were learned by how we created spaces of Black land simply by being together. I mean, when 15 boisterous, beautiful Black girls and women show up for lunch at a small restaurant, well, we created Black land. And we learned a lot from how others responded to our occupation of this public space. And when we spread yoga mats in the front yard and practiced together at sundown, we forged personal and collective attachment to the earth that we'd spent the day studying and farming. And when the girls sang and danced in the living room, chased chickens in the yard, or sat by the pond to watch goldfish, they laid claim. They made this land their own.
What a shame it would be if we too weren't given an opportunity to put that knowledge into the soil. The soil that connects us all and feeds us all. So yes, for all of us to thrive collectively, Black land matters.